Welcome to the Milwaukee Business Journal podcast. I'm David Boehm.
I'm Sean Ryan.
Sean, there's lots of investment and other activity brewing on the west side of downtown Milwaukee, especially along West Wisconsin Avenue, and you spoke with a key stakeholder who's helping make that happen.
That's right. Beth Wierick of the Downtown Milwaukee Business Improvement District. She stopped by with a host of updates around the Westtown neighborhood. That's the area west of the river in downtown Milwaukee, kind of between the river and maybe, say, 6th Street or so. She's working on new public art projects close to the future home of the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra. She's also planning some privately funded streetscaping improvements that would come before the Democratic National Convention.
Speaking of the DNC, there's a lot more news around the convention this week as well.
That's right. It seems like whenever somebody says those magic words, Democratic National Convention, our reporter Rich Kirchin just seems to pop up out of nowhere.
Just with a puff of smoke.
Yeah, and more news to report on it as well. So Rich was nice enough to join us this week, and he's talking about more preparation work in Milwaukee for the convention and some of his experience from the president's visit earlier this week.
6 months away now.
6 months away.
Sounds good. When we come back, Sean's conversation with Beth Wierick, CEO of the Downtown Milwaukee Business Improvement District. Tickets are on sale now for upcoming MBJ events. Meet your mentor at the Biz Women Mentoring Monday event. Join Milwaukee Business Journal for this one-of-a-kind event that brings together established and professional women with up-and-coming mentees in a casual, fast-paced coaching atmosphere. That's Monday, February 25th. Get tickets at MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com under the events section.
We're joined now by Beth Wierick, CEO of the Downtown Milwaukee Business Improvement District number 21. Beth, thank you for joining us.
Thanks. I'm so happy to be here with you, Sean.
Now, you're always seemingly working on something exciting to improve the downtown and the whole environment down here. And the most recent thing that I spoke with the bit about was a new public art project in the Westtown neighborhood along West Wisconsin Avenue, where it seems you've been particularly busy. Could you kind of fill us in on this latest effort?
Sure. We just hit the streets last week with a new RFP to complete an artistic application, a mural application, to the skywalk that connects the 2nd Street skywalk of the new avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the on 2nd Street, and it's located between Wisconsin Avenue and Michigan Street. And it's a little less than 1,400 square feet.
Which is pretty large.
It is really large. And as you can imagine, that location is just a critical, critical location now with the Milwaukee Symphony Center opening soon, well, this fall at least, and the new focus on 2nd Street, which is the street just to the east of the new Milwaukee Symphony Center. There is this whole development plan to really look at enhancing the utilization of 2nd Street.
Sure.
And really creating a much more engaging public space there and connecting pedestrians. And so we were thrilled because the new ownership at what was once called the Grand Avenue Mall, mm-hmm. which is now called the Avenue, reached out to us and wanted to do something to be certain to engage in a public arena, muralists and Milwaukee artists to have the opportunity to kind of tell their story on what I think is going to be a fantastic canvas.
Excellent. And that whole stretch of 2nd Street, I mean, we're expecting people to be walking through there on their way to symphony performances on West Wisconsin Avenue. And there are other things generating traffic in that area. But how does public art fit into that, make this an environment for that kind of thing to happen?
Well, I just think public art in general is really critical. I always remind people or even ask people when they travel, what were their most memorable experiences? And when I think of myself, I think about, you know, seeing the David
mm-hmm.
or seeing the Mona Lisa or being at the Trevi Fountain or walking the canals and looking at the beautiful artwork in
sure.
Venice. And to me, public art plays such a critical role in connecting community. It helps the community to be able to convey that there is this sense of culture. And I think it's really important, too, because it helps to create this sense of place and this energy. It also gives you this really great environment in which You can have conversations and dialogue. And I think it's appealing to any age. I think it's appealing from an educational perspective, a community engagement perspective. In so many ways, public art is so beneficial for all of us.
Yeah, it gets people talking to each other about
things.
Right,
exactly.
And sort of on that note, you were involved in the mural that's kind of on the western entrance into the Westtown neighborhood, correct? Can you tell us about that and sort of the feedback you've gotten?
Well, that was another one of, we started our project, I'll just preface this, with a true intention to be more engaged in public art and placemaking, because we recognize it does provide community engagement, it does provide economic development, it does provide the opportunity for you to create a sense of place. And we think it's really important to have that open dialogue. So that mural, it's called Westtown in Bloom by Emma Daisy Gertel. Mm-hmm. And she tells this beautiful story with all of these flowers. And there was public engagement, finding out where people were from and what their thoughts were about Westtown and being connected to the community. And Emma Daisy selected flowers based upon feedback that she had gotten.
Interesting.
And I love it because, as you well know, we have a tendency to have some long gray winters here in Milwaukee. And it's just a beautiful, warm, welcoming, colorful, vibrant, and bright way for people to be greeted as they are entering into Westtown.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And on that note, the Business Improvement District, you are moving your offices over to Westtown.
Yes, we are in a temporary location right now in the Avenue, and it has been a buzz with activity, and we are surrounded by a lot of construction going on. We're thrilled to be in this space. We'll be locating into our actual permanent space in mid-February, which will be right at the intersection of Old World 3rd Street and Wisconsin Avenue, and ground level in a retail storefront. We're so excited because we will be able to have our customers have accessibility right off of the street. We'll have information there. You may remember before the Warner Grand Theater project was designated for the new Milwaukee Symphony Center, we had a temporary space there that was Newcomer and Visitor Information Center. So now we're just going to be half a block west.
Sure.
And people can walk right in and get information and get directions and get guidance from us. But we're so thrilled to be there. Just within the past 2 weeks, Grave has moved in.
Sure.
And so it's funny because, people are seeing, even at Canary Coffee, which is on Old World 3rd Street, people are noticing, where did all these additional people come from? You know, that's 170 people that Grave has brought into the heart of downtown Milwaukee. And just with that number of people alone, that great addition, you feel the sense, again, of vibrancy and energy.
And sort of that term, we hear it a lot, placemaking. And I know you've been involved with this, a lot of others as well, around the Westtown area. I mean, now that we're starting to see things like Grave coming in with their employees, I mean, what kind of place is it becoming? What's it going to be like another year, 5 years, 10 years from now, do you think?
Oh, I think it is just on an upward trajectory, without a doubt. What I love is that, over 2 decades ago, I used to work for the Westtown Association, and I can remember feeling like, we're here, we are here, we are here, you know.
Can somebody come
visit? Right. And I can remember seeing the potential and the great bones that Westtown had. But for whatever reason, there was always this negative paradigm affiliated with it. And now you talk to the brokers, and they are just excited because west of the river is getting so much more attention.
Sure.
I don't want to take away from east of the river because I love east of the river.
I think east of the river is doing just
It's thriving. Mm-hmm. It is nice to see the renaissance that is happening on West Wisconsin Avenue.
Sure.
And I attribute it to so many things. You know, the mayor took on the task of creating WAM DC, West Wisconsin Avenue, and that was chaired by Steve Chernoff, and there were some great steering committee members, George Meyer and Bob Monnet, Steve Chernoff, and a lot of others who really engaged in very intentional planning around how we revitalize West Wisconsin Avenue, and assisted in putting together these deals with the Avenue and with the Milwaukee Symphony Center, and acquiring property and really being thoughtful about it. And then you look at, you know, Tony and Josh with their investment Hempel of the Avenue, mm-hmm. and some of the support from the stakeholders that they're getting. And you look at Hub 640 and the development of that building, and you look at Time Equities and the investment that they're making in 310W, and you not only see it inside of the buildings, you're seeing it in activations in the plaza. West Town gets lit. You're seeing it with the go-kart, with games. And you're just, there's just this whole sense that there's now this campus. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like 32,000 residents in West Town. There are, you know, over 65,000 employees in West Town. You look at what's happening there with the DNC, and that is going to be ground zero right there.
Sure.
And I'm thrilled about it. I'm really thrilled about the investment. I'm thrilled that we will be able to showcase not only downtown, but also West Town, and that it will have some long-term impacts in terms of really messaging that we're a good place for you to invest in your business, to live, and to raise your family.
And you had mentioned, and everybody loves talking about the DNC. What is the Business Improvement District doing to prepare for that?
Oh, we are so excited. And I can truly say every morning I get up and I cannot wait to get to work. We are getting our house ready. And, you know, people will always comment about how clean downtown Milwaukee is and mm-hmm. that, you know, from an infrastructure perspective, we're in great shape. I mean, people will always complain about potholes and I mean, that's the way it is. But, you know, we're really being very focused about working with our partners at the city, mm-hmm. Working with our partners at Visit Milwaukee, working with our partners at West Town and the Riverwalk District. And we have created a plan around a landscaping plan. It will be a red, white, and blue theme. Our landscape contractor, KEI, has actually looked at various environments and how we can bring that whole theme together, whether it's full sun, partial sun, not to get into the details of it.
Will this be sort of new plantings then?
It'll be new plantings mm-hmm. all up and down Wisconsin Avenue, along the Riverwalk. And this is things that our property owners within Business Improvement 21 mm-hmm. are funding these services. We have been working with our fabulous partners over at Visit Milwaukee.
Sure.
Megan Sardini has done a wonderful job. We've been working to update the downtown wayfinding, which, if you remember that signage, it's outdated. Mm-hmm. And Megan has been leading a task force, and Gabe Yeager from our team has been GCing it. And
sure.
we've hired Corbin and Polachek to help us, I beg your pardon, Poblocki sign.
Oh, sure.
To help us to refurbish our wayfinding signs,
so we'll
and to replace the heads. And you're going to see a whole new style and image for that, with maybe some additional trailblazing. We're really excited. We have been working very, very closely, of course, with our partners at Milwaukee Police Department mm-hmm. and really developing a strong, even stronger database so that we can be certain that we are communicating well with all of our stakeholders and property owners. It's going to be important for us to let people know downtown is open for business. You know, we encourage you, take public transportation. Don't mm-hmm. stay away. Walk. We're a very walkable city. We have been having conversations with some of our peer cities. Cleveland, which hosted the DNC, or I beg your pardon, the RNC.
Yep.
Philadelphia hosted the DNC. We've been having conversations with them. Charlotte, who hosted DNC in 2012, and they're now hosting again the RNC in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So there are bids, like organizations in those cities, and they've been sharing their best practices with us. So what we want to do is just stand shoulder to shoulder with the rest of the community, ensure that our visitors and our guests and our media are getting the entire story of Milwaukee, not just downtown, but the city has a great story to tell, and that there's a long-lasting positive legacy where people who see what Milwaukee is really made of, our work ethic, our family values, mm-hmm. You know, the opportunity to enjoy a high quality of life at a reasonable price, the access to fresh water, mm-hmm. and just, of course, our fabulous, fabulous nighttime economy, our fabulous food, the hospitality that we give here, I think is unprecedented.
Sure.
I've been so fortunate to travel, and I always think, my God, we do it so much better in Milwaukee. And I think people are going to really have the chance to see that. I have been very impressed with Liz Gilbert and her team at DNCC. I think that they have a monumental task, and they have been doing a yeoman's job of really communicating with the community and being very focused on diversity and inclusion. I've been very impressed with the Secret Service and MPD. Mm-hmm. Our downtown security network is doing a fabulous job. And, of course, Visit Milwaukee. So it's lovely to have all of these amazing organizations. And they're beyond that, our service groups, you know, whether it's Rotary or Kiwanis,
sure.
or, you know, United Way, all of these entities and organizations which are coming up with their own plans, their own ways of saying, welcome to Milwaukee, and we want to leave you with this lasting, memorable impression.
Kind of a best foot forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Let's open the door for more large-scale conventions to come into the city of Milwaukee. We can show them that we can do this right.
I hear they're going to be building a bigger convention hall for that.
Well, I certainly hope so. I think we've got the right people working on that.
And, of course, the DNC is a huge event for this year, but just, you know, a couple of days when you boil it all down for when it's actually going on. More longer-range plans beyond that, things that are on the BIDS agenda for the remainder of the year or for next year?
Yeah, I think when we just look at downtown holistically and everything that's happening, $3.5 billion worth of investment, another $1.5 billion on the table. You look at all of the investment that's happening with residential, with hotels,
sure.
with commercial properties, with new Class A businesses coming. And then you look at the adaptive reuse with Class C and B buildings that mm-hmm. are now turning into residential. Downtown is a hot spot for residents. What I also love is we represent nearly 30% of the city of Milwaukee's tax base,
mm-hmm.
and we only represent 3.5% of the city's land mass. And so I believe as downtown goes, so goes the city. So goes the region, so goes the state. And so I ask people to continue to support us in our efforts as we continue to work to attract more businesses here, more jobs here, and more investment here. And I think we are really only at the beginning of building what is going to be a world-class destination city and a world-class destination state.
And to finish on the topic that we started with, the new mural on the skywalk over 2nd Street, how soon can we see that completed and debuted?
We feel certain that we are going to get a lot of responses on that, so it's going to be difficult, I'm sure, to whittle it down.
Sure.
But our intention is, and by the way, for those listening who are interested in the mural, Sean, RFP proposals are due February 14th, mm-hmm. Valentine's Day, and you can get information at MilwaukeeDowntown.com and get that RFP, and we hope to have the artist selected in early spring, well, really actually late February, early March,
mm-hmm.
and have the work completed by early to late spring, definitely by June of 2020.
It's going to be an improvement, Beth. You got a lot to do. I'm going to let you get to it, but thank you again for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Sean. Really appreciate it.
Nominations are live for some key MBJ awards, including our 2020 Diversity in Business Awards. These awards recognize the entrepreneurs and commercial enterprises whose contributions toward growth, expansion, and prosperity are making a difference in Milwaukee Central City and others across the region. Nominations are also live for our Real Estate Awards. Real estate projects featuring new construction and redevelopments are reshaping the landscape in southeastern Wisconsin. Don't let your group's project go unnoticed. Get the attention it deserves with the Milwaukee Business Journal Real Estate Awards. These focus on the best real estate deals and projects completed in 2019. Nominations for these and other awards are live right now at MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com.
We're We're joined now by Rich Kirchen, our senior reporter here at the Milwaukee Business Journal. He's been handling coverage of the upcoming Democratic National Convention. Thanks for coming in, Rich.
Thanks for having me.
And Rich, you were also our reporter covering President Trump's visit to the UW-Milwaukee Panther Arena on Tuesday, right?
That's right. It was quite a scene, to put it mildly. I walked up to the arena to get into my, press seating area, and there were thousands of people outside. Mm-hmm. This was at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the president wasn't expected to talk till 7.
Okay.
And it was general admission, but everyone had to go through security. And so there was a huge line outside. Kilbourne Avenue was closed down in front of the arena, and the line went across the street over to the surface parking lot at the Wisconsin Center. At any rate, the building did fill up. It sort of took a while, I think, partly because of the security, but they had over 10,000 people in Panther Arena, essentially a full house, and then they had... The president said there were thousands of people outside. The Wisconsin Center District officially estimated at about 1,200 people,
okay,
who were stayed outside and watched. There was a large screen TV set up on the parking lot,
okay,
and the people watched out there who were not able to get in. I did talk with some of their folks from the Wisconsin Center District about how much of a dry run this was for the DNC, and it was, in fact, we don't know yet. They may very well have some events in the arena where they have some entertainment or some big meetings.
Sure.
The Wisconsin Center District's three buildings are under contract to the DNC,
now,
or one of its.
What are those three?
It's the Panther Arena, Miller High Life Theater, and then the Wisconsin Center Convention Facility.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three buildings. We know that there's going to be a major media workspace in the Wisconsin Center itself.
Okay.
We know that the state delegations, some or all, will be using some or all of those buildings. But then there will probably be some caucuses. Could be, Black Women's Caucus. Could be the LGBTQ Caucus. Different subgroups of the DNC.
Sure.
So those buildings are going to be heavily used. The Fiserv Forum is the main convention hall where all of the specific convention activity will happen, including,
yep,
the big final night. That's where all the TV networks will have their cameras and their anchors and everything. But one block away, Panther Arena, Miller High Life Theater, and then two blocks over, the Wisconsin Center, that's going to be the central convention zone. So this was a test for the Wisconsin Center staff,
mm-hmm,
for their contractors, because there were contracted security personnel there. They had to staff up for concessions, for everything.
Sure.
They had to handle people with disabilities. Also, Milwaukee Police Department,
mm-hmm,
was on duty and out in force. Not just for traffic control, but there was the concern and the possibility of, there was a group of 300 or 400 anti-Trump protesters who marched over, and the police were out there with riot gear on. Fortunately, they didn't have to use any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a little bit of a glimpse into this summer.
And us being the Business Journal, what did you see as far as the business angle to this? Were there local hospitality companies? Were there restaurants where you saw a lot of people congregating outside? Did you see people just doing commerce amidst all this?
Well, Major Goolsby's is right across the street from Panther Arena,
mm-hmm,
and they were busy. I know they were looking to do business. Because I needed to get into that building,
sure,
before a certain time, I wasn't really able to circulate around the businesses there. I mean, outside, and we're going to see a lot of this, I'm sure 10 times the amount of people selling T-shirts and hats and buttons and,
yep,
banners, you name it. I mean, they were all pro-Trump things. Some of them might have been authorized. Others clearly were not authorized.
I saw a few of those myself.
Trump gear. So, I just can't imagine what that's going to be like. But that'll be something I'll be talking with the city folks about in the coming weeks, how they're going to manage all that. Because how many street vendors can you put in one arena district?
Yeah, is that licensed or how does that all work?
Good question.
And we were joined for the same podcast earlier by Beth Wierick from the Downtown Business Improvement District. And we talked a bit about sort of the overall growth on that side of downtown, that sort of West Town neighborhood. And things that contribute to that are Pfizer Forum, the planned expansion of the convention center. I mean, those two alone are going to bring a lot more, probably, events like what you saw on Tuesday. And I mean, how do you think long term those change that part of downtown, not just when the president's in town or when we're hosting one of these huge conventions?
Well, the arena district clearly has already had a major impact. I mean, you think of that section of downtown, essentially north of the Bradley Center, was pretty much a dead zone. I mean, you had the Park East Corridor, which was vacant for 15, 20 years, nothing going on there. There was an MATC parking lot, I think, where Fiserv Forum is now. So, you know, that was almost, it was vacant, unused space where, I mean, if anything, people used it for parking during Bucks games, and that was it. So, and now it's just this hub of activity. They're putting on dozens and dozens of events at the Forum. And then you have those businesses that have popped up, Good City and Punch Bowl Social and all that, right on the plaza. So that, I mean, that alone as a public-private partnership certainly shows that, at least so far, that's really brought that to life, what really was a dead zone. The convention center expansion has that potential. The combination of expanding the convention center, which, according to the Wisconsin Center District, will mean more conventions, more trade shows, the types of things that will bring more people into the downtown area, the West Town area specifically. And then we will get at least one hotel, you know, connecting or expanding that will become the main convention hotel. So, again, that's more activity, more feet on the street, more people spending money in West Town.
And have you heard from the people you're interviewing? I mean, from just the hospitality service industry side of things? I mean, if that comes to bear, if we have more visitors coming to town, a lot of these folks aren't from Milwaukee, what that means for their industry?
I have not really talked a lot with the people there. You know, we certainly, if you just look at all of the hotels being built in the downtown area, I guess that speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there are at least two major developers that would, you know, are saying they would, build a hotel right across from the convention center on 4th and Wisconsin, on Phillips and Wisconsin. There's not a lot of retail. Grand Avenue's essentially not there anymore across the street. Downtown retail isn't what it used to be. And yet you look at the Third Ward not too far away and it's bustling and growing. So, restaurants, bars clearly will benefit. Third Street, Old World Third Street. Does that extend to King Drive? Maybe some. Will Wisconsin Avenue become more active? Likely, but we'll see how that unfolds. It is starting to spread once the food hall and everything gets going at Grand Avenue. I think that'll all connect up.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we were speaking about with Beth. And they already saw Grafe move into the neighborhood, 100-plus people there, and they can already tell the difference on the sidewalks, which maybe says how quiet it was before.
Yeah.
But more to come, Rich. We know you're going to be there all throughout these next 6 months.
I will be.
And we'll be around to talk to you about it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Here are a few more stories we're working on at MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com.
Carmex maker Karma Laboratories plans to build a new headquarters in Franklin with city financing help. More details on that will be announced in weeks to come.
Cree Lighting is investing more than $8 million into its Racine facility under a plan to increase production and create nearly 100 manufacturing jobs.
Advocate Aurora Health hopes to double its annual revenue to $27 billion by 2025. It would do that through mergers and acquisitions.
LendingTree ranks Milwaukee 7th in the nation for millennial home buying. Minneapolis was number one. For Sean Ryan, I'm David Bain, reminding you to visit MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com, follow us on social media, and subscribe to our free daily email updates. Speaking of subscribe, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening to the Milwaukee Business Journal podcast.